pokey. Pokey, pokey, pokey.
Did you get poked?
Oh, it was poking good.
Wow.
Oh, hello there, everyone, and welcome to the Super Fun Awesome Happy Time Pedal Show podcast.
Yeah, the most complicated name in the world.
But the coolest of all.
Is it?
Is it? Wow.
Hope you're having a fantastic day wherever you are in the world.
Yes. Speaking of wherever in the world, big thank you to last time we did thing, and we're doing it again this time, where we, if you're listening to this, thanks first and hello. if you get it, if you can, just take a photo of whatever it is you're looking at right now. Whether you're in a train or in a bus or in a car, if you're in a car, maybe pull over first. If you're flying a plane, land.
We'll get the co-pilot to fly. Maybe put down your beer.
Yeah. Get the stewardess off your lap. anyway.
Or not.
Or not. If you feel like it, take a photo of what it is you are looking at right now, and post it on a Facebook page. There's links to it below. I think it's pretty much just facebook.com/superfunawesomehappytimepedalshow or the Super Fun Awesome Happy Time Pedal Show.
Yeah. Yep.
You'll find it. Just search for Super Fun Awesome. It'll come up then. There aren't that many other idiots who have stupid names like that. And post a picture, because then it'll just be fun to know where you people are. And we had last time, out of the whooping, you know, millions of listeners we have, four people did just that. And I want to say a hello and a big thank you to, and first of all, I'm going to apologize because I'm not 100% sure how to pronounce the name properly, but I think it's Hugh Roberts.
Oh, yeah.
It's H-U-W. But I think it's Hugh Roberts from North Wales. A big thank you to Carl Flyman, who is from Sweden but lives in Norway. To Nicholas Quintero from New Mexico in the US of A. And Sean Wright, who's in Michigan and who's also the guy who makes lollygagger effects.
Yeah.
So big thank you to all of yous. Hugh did this thing where he sent a photo of looking out of his car. He parked his car and he wrote something like, I can't think of it exactly what it is now, but he said, I was listening to it driving to work, I think, in a car. So I thought I'll pull over, put my beer down and take a photo.
That's very cool.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Hugh. Then also, Sean from Lollygagger Effects showed a photo of a circuit board. I think he was working on circuit boards while he was listening to.
In the workshop.
And a big sorry also to Sean, because we've been talking to him. We talked to him end of last year about talking to him on a podcast. But this year's just, it's August now.
I believe the word is vanished.
This year's vanished. It's insane how quickly it went and how much stuff we had and how much other things happened, you know, that are not just podcast and YouTube related, but other things as well.
Yeah.
So it's just been a crazy busy year. So we haven't gotten around to it, Sean. So very sorry, but we will at some stage get around to it. Like a lot of other people we talked to about getting on the podcast and
having a chat.
So yeah, so Hugh Roberts, Carl Flyman, Nicholas Quintero and Sean Wright, thank you so much for being the first four people to post pictures.
It's very cool.
That is very, very cool. Oh, and I like the fact that Hugh plays Jazz Masters.
Oh, yeah.
That's
very cool.
I like that. I'm a Jazz Master kind of guy.
Nice.
So what's new in the world of Alex?
lots of gigs at the moment. Kind of a bit flat out. We've started getting into a bunch of videos again. We've just kind of starting this new series, which is our clone series.
And it sort of semi-backfired on us. And I say that in a sort of cheeky way. We had this idea of doing clone videos.
Yeah.
We have a friend who has an actual silver clone, and I've got a KTR, and between us we've got a bunch of copies. Mm. And then we thought, wouldn't it be fun to do like a really, really comprehensive comparison between as many different con things as we can get a hold of. And
now
and innocently I thought, I'm just gonna email a bunch of manufacturers and see who wants to maybe send us some stuff. And backfiring, I mean, literally everyone I emailed is sending us something.
So
big thank you to all the manufacturers out there who are sending stuff.
So is it up to 10 or 12 or something?
We've got, I'll read you out the list. So this is what we've got secured so far. Where is it? So we have, and so we're going to do a video, a separate video for each one of them, and then we're going to do a monster shootout.
Which will be go for about 4 hours.
Which could go for a while, and there'll be lots of talking, and people will complain about that, but that's a different story. And it'll be a video slash podcast in one. So I think the video will be a shorter version, and the podcast will be the more in-depth version.
Yep.
But so we have an actual silver Clone Centaur, no graphic. I think he doesn't have a graphic on his.
Oh, yeah.
Because some people are very, is it the one with the graphic or the one without the graphic? So this is without graphic. We have a Clone KTR. We've got a Seriatone Centura, which we've already uploaded the first video. So that video is already up. We've got a Tone Monk Phoenix, a Bondi Effect Sick As, and we're going to have a normal version, and we're going to get, big thank you to Roger at Signal Chain here in Australia. We're going to get a special limited edition gold version.
Oh, okay.
Because
is there a germanium one? Is that?
I think so.
Yeah, cool.
Because the idea is clones and clone-inspired pedals. So the Sick As is inspired by the clone.
It's kind of in that world. It's not exactly, yeah.
Well, it has extra tone.
One for one rep.
It has extra tone, and it has different clipping options. So we're going to do a comparison between the normal blue one, the aqua sort of coloured one, and the special limited edition gold one, which is meant to be very clone-like.
Cool.
We have the Anasound Savage, which that's the first one I've received in the mail. Big thank you to Alex at Anasounds in Nice, en français.
Hello.
oui, merci beaucoup. We have the Fox Pedal Kingdom, the J-Rocket Archer, the Electro-Omnic Soul Food, the Keeley Oxblood, the Matthews Effect Architect, the Wampler Tumnus, the Moja Hand Effect Sacred Cow, and the Ryra the Clone. That's what we've got confirmed so far. I'm still waiting on a couple of people to get back to me, but all the ones that got back to me, that's pretty much a lot of those manufacturers. Cool. So big thank you to all the manufacturers, and stay tuned to that. Hopefully that something will... I'm hoping it'll be done in the next few months or by the end of the year anyway.
Definitely. Because there's a lot of work that'll have to go into that to get all the videos out and then work out how we're going to do the shootout and logistics.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's one video for each of those pedals, and we've done one of them so far.
Yeah,
it's a good start. How many pedals is that so far? So we've got, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. And I think there could be another few coming.
Yeah.
There's a few more in the making. So it's one video for each of those. And then somehow get all of them plugged in together in some way, possibly through different amps too, so you can... Well, I don't know. We'll sort out what we're doing.
How are we going?
And then do a shootout of it. So that'll be interesting. But, stay tuned for that. So hopefully... And if you know of any other... Someone messaged... Oh, what was the name? There was a clone. Someone messaged on Facebook... but I haven't been able to find contact details, and I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, I saw that message.
Whatever the name of the guy, of the manufacturer was.
It was a small run or something.
It was a small maker.
Yeah.
Or if anyone out there knows any other makers, it doesn't have to be big manufacturers, small makers that do clone-style pedals, get them in contact with us, and we'd love to do some demos and you know. I would like this to be the most comprehensive clone shootout on the interwebs.
Yes.
And it looks like it's starting to get that way.
Yeah. It's going to be a big animal.
Yes. So, and logistics are going to be difficult, but we'll work it out. Cool. So what else is new in the world of Alex? Lots of gigs?
Lots of gigs. Gear-wise, we talked about the slicer?
Maybe not sure.
Not. I got a Boss slicer. Which is...
Well, we just put the video up.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's good timing.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I got this Boss Slicer that's on a video that's just done.
Wow.
You should go watch the video. It's kind of this weird, cool, synthy tremolo, pattern tremolo. And the cool thing is we've both used it on different recording projects in the last couple of weeks.
Yes.
And syncing it with MIDI to the DAW is really cool, because then you can get exactly the right tempo to your session, all locks in.
Yeah, it was surprisingly easy to do. I used it sort of as a more of a almost percussive sound, so getting rid of all the original guitar signal and playing around with that, what are they called, the attack and duty knobs.
Duty.
Making it so it's almost a percussive sound. It sounds like some sort of a synthy percussive sound, and it fit really well into this recording that I was doing. So
the video's been up for a few days or something.
A few days now, yeah.
And already there's a few comments on there saying pretty much every comment's like, oh yeah, I love this thing, and it's so useful, and it's really handy, and it's kind of one of those quirky things that Boss has done that's, everyone loves it, sounds great, it's easy to use.
Yeah.
You don't have to go through menus.
It's unique. It's a unique sounding effect for the guitar as well, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's something that in the world of synth world and sampling world and stuff like that, it's been around for a while, but in a guitar world, it's a different ballgame, and it's a unique pedal. I really like it. I think I might have to invest in one of them at some stage too.
Cool. They're good. And not hugely expensive.
No.
So, yeah.
Worth Do yourselves a favour, folks.
Check out the Boss Slicer.
Boss Slicer SL20 Audio Pattern Processor.
Yeah. What else I've been doing gear-wise? I've finally hooked up my Line 6 Filter Pro.
And that's another thing we've been talking about for ages. Yeah. We're going to do Line 6. We're going to do all the 4-button pedals.
Mm.
We've got the filter pro, the filter FM4, the delay DL4, the MM4 modulation one, and the
distortion one.
The
gold one.
M4? DM? Distortion modeler?
Maybe, yeah.
Is that what it is? The gold one. And if we can get our hands on, there's a red one, which is the amp modeler, the AM4 as well.
Yeah.
I'll try to get my hands on that. We're going to do videos on them, and then we're going to do a shootout between the the filter pro and the FM4, because they're meant to be the same, I think.
Look, I reckon the sounds are probably the same. Maybe the controls and editability, is that a word?
Editability. Yeah. Well, I guess, again, with that, because it's got MIDI, doesn't it, the Pro.
Yeah.
So you can sync it probably.
True.
Because there's a lot of percussive sounds, like as in time-based sounds in there as well.
Absolutely.
And the good thing with the Pro, all the Pro Rack stuff is you change the effect that it's modeling, and it tells you what the knob does. So it has, if you haven't seen one of them before, if you think of the pedal ones, a lot of people put those stickers on it with that tell you what each knob does.
Sure. Yep.
So you change it from an envelope filter to a string synth sound on there, for example, and on the foot pedal one, you have no idea what each knob does. On here, there's actually a list of things, and a light goes on that tells you what it is that knob does, which is really helpful.
Yep. It's very cool.
And you have heaps more presets, because you have 4 presets on the pedal ones, and you've got probably, is it 126 usually with MIDI? You'd probably have something like that on there.
Possibly.
Or 122 or whatever the MIDI thing is.
I just flick through the presets.
Or it's 2 digits, so I guess you probably have 99.
I'd say. The other rack unit I got fixed up is the TC Electronic M1, which is kind of started off being more of a live sound and studio effects processor. But there's some cool sounds, like there's some little bit of modulation stuff. There's some cool like dual reverb type sounds, which I've put the guitar through. So you can have like a spring in a plate or a hole in a hall.
A hole in a hole.
Mm.
Can you have oats too?
Hole in oats.
I'm funny. Cool. It looks cool too, the display.
Yeah, that's cool. Mm. Other gear. Oh, I got more racket. The Roland U220.
Tell us more about it. Is it? Do you get U2 sounds out of it?
You get U22
sounds. U22 sounds. U22.
It's actually a keyboard sound module.
Sound module, okay.
Which, as a guitar player, I'm the world's worst keyboard player. But it's kind of cool to have like some keyboard sounds in the studio.
Oh.
And they're kind of good, like retro.
You sound surprised. Kind of what?
Yeah, it's the kind of funky retro 90s sounds. Oh, retro 90s, that's weird.
Yeah. They'd definitely be 90s, yeah. That stuff is very 90s. I've got an old Groovebox, Roland Groovebox, 505, which is, at the time, was like, whoa, and now you listen to it and go, man, that's 90s.
Yeah, I used to have a Dr. Rhythm drum machine.
I think you should have held on to that, because I think they'd probably go for good money now.
Yeah, I think I'd get like $50 maybe. The other thing, speaking of rack gear, we should demo your Roland guitar.
Oh, yeah, what is it?
Is it the 16 or the 8 or something?
Don't know, but it's one of the older ones that had all the Boss pedals in it.
Yeah.
Well, I got to check. If it's still in one piece in the shed, because we had on a different note, a lot of ants coming into the shed and getting into everything. And I don't think I've checked that if ants have gotten into it.
Should pull it out and have a look.
Yeah. So that's something we can do in the future.
Yeah, we can check out ants.
As for me, new gear, well, I'm starting to receive this Klon stuff. So I got the first pedal that came was the Anasound Savage. Big thank you to Alex at Anasounds, which I only had a chance to plug in once, and it sounded really good.
Cool.
And it looks great. I think the Anasound stuff, he's really onto something good with the way they look. They look fantastic, I think.
Yep.
What I haven't done yet is, because it's a Klon style pedal, so three knobs on the outside, but you have, I think, a couple of trim pots and a couple of switches on the insides.
Okay.
Anasound stuff, they like to have it simple on the outside, but you can, if you want to, get in there and tweak the hell out of everything.
Yeah.
Even down to a trim pot where you can set how bright the LED is, which we've done a video on the Utopia delay, which is a great delay.
That's so
So I haven't gotten into that yet, but there's all different clipping options and all this different stuff. The video will be coming shortly when we get some time. It's been a really busy couple of weeks or couple of months, really,
totally,
with gigs and stuff and sicknesses. I've been a bit sick, so
That's all right. Relative normal.
So today we did two kind of interesting things.
We did.
We did the Otterbit, Maris Otterbit Jr., which I think is just a... it's a definite contender for pedal of the year for me this year.
Oh, yeah, right.
I think it's... I really like that sort of stuff.
Sure.
It's quite an out there pedal with crap loads of functions.
There is.
So it's like a bit crusher, sample rate reducer. It has this kind of synth-like filter sweep.
Yep.
It has a stutter effect, which is really cool.
Stutter's cool.
And it has an actually quite usable stutter effect. A lot of other pedals have tried it before and it wasn't really very usable. It's a really usable stutter effect. And a sequencer, which you can either have as a pitch sequencer, filter sequencer, or sample rate sequencer. And about limitless MIDI routing capabilities. You can store presets on it. You can do just about anything you want with it. I think it's really, really good. Really, really good pedal.
It is very cool. I hadn't played it until today, and it's, I kind of want one now.
Well, then, what you should do,
you
should get the 500 series.
I should.
Because they make a 500 series too.
Because I have a 500 series rack now. That's just endless possibilities with all the 70s.
So I think you should get the Otterbit 500 series and see what we should just shoot at, see what the difference is.
And the Maris Reverb
The Mercury.
Mercury 7?
Mercury 7, or is it just Mercury, or whatever it is, which also they do as a pedal and as a 500 series.
Yeah. So, yeah, really can check that out.
Yeah. So, Maris, hello.
Hi.
How you guys doing? Or Studio Connections in Australia, the distributors here in Australia. Hello, Studio Connections.
Hi.
If you want to send us some stuff, feel free.
Yeah. There is some really cool stuff going into 500 series land, obviously from JHS and...
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of this... It's almost...
We need to still do the colour box.
Oh, yes.
We still need to do that.
Yeah.
And you should get the 500 series, and we should do a shootout between that and the 500 series.
Brad's getting back in a week, so we'll have to give it back. So we'll have to do it next week.
Okay, next week we're doing a demo. Okay.
Colour box demo next week.
500 series.
Yeah, yeah. So there's kind of this cool thing of using... rebuilding of guitar effects, almost mostly guitar effects, into these 500 series units to use on Pro Audio type applications.
So ZVEX started doing it too, I think. So you can get the Fuzz Factory and the Lo-Fi Loop Junkie and that sort of, or not the instant Lo-Fi Loop thing.
It's not really.
Yeah, 500.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure.
It's not modular synth, is it?
No, no, no. It's 500.
Oh, really?
It's 500 series. Yeah, ZVEX.
I'm looking that up.
I'm pretty sure they're doing it. So you can get like a Fuzz Factory, and you can get...
Didn't know about that.
I think it's 500 series.
I shall Google it right now.
He's Googling it right now. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's a 500. Or it could be Eurorack. I don't know. I always mix them up, but it could. I think it's 500 series. Is it 500 series?
I'm not sure yet. It's just loading.
Who's this is riveting, a riveting podcast. You're listening to us searching the internet.
Speaking of ZVEX, you got the new thing.
Oh, yes, which we should do a demo of soon as well. The Box of Rock, what is it called? 59 Sound.
Yeah.
Which is the, which I also only had a very brief time to plug it in. But it's basically...
It's modular synth.
Is it modular? Oh, okay, yeah. So it's not 500.
No.
Oh, whoopsie. Well, sorry.
Got me excited.
The Box of Rock, basically, which I would probably consider my all-time number one favorite pedal ever made. I think the best pedal ever made. That's a statement, but I think it is. It's voiced after a plexi. So the idea is you have a pedal that makes your amp sound like a plexi.
Yes.
With a boost on it as well. So this now is the new one that they released is the 59 sound, which is based on a 59 bassman. So it's the same thing, but it's a 59 bassman in the box. And you can, if you crank it, you get those tweed, driven tweed sounds, a la Neil Young and all that sort of stuff. Mm. And it does sound really cool. And actually, I plugged the Box of Rock into that, and I've been going back and forth.
Yeah.
And they together sound really good.
Oh, cool.
Oh, what did you find? You look excited.
No, just looking. Maybe you need to get a modular synth rack as well.
Yeah, I'll need to get a modular thing eventually. Yeah.
Because Strymon have got modular stuff too.
Oh, yeah. The Brigadier or something like that? And
maybe something like that.
Yeah, they've got a few different things on there.
That's another world that's just going nuts at the moment.
The whole modular thing.
Super cool.
I need to get into that, but it's a little boring. Yeah, so that's another demo that's coming up. Yep. But today, we're talking about what we did today.
Yeah.
So today we did Otterbit, which is great. And then we also did this video.
A challenge.
Well, basically, probably a week ago, a fortnight ago now, roughly, I was just, you know, looking through YouTube and videos, and I saw Anderton's did this video where he did a shootout between an old pod... the amplifier pedal and a Kemper. And in all honesty, they were saying it too, but in all honesty, the pod actually ended up sounding really good.
Yeah, cool.
So I think the pod in some ways sounded almost the best, and in other ways the Kemper probably sounded the best. But the amplifier, which is quite highly regarded...
Yep.
Didn't sound as good. I don't think it sounded as good as
the
pod.
Okay.
Anyway.
I'll have to watch that.
So they were doing that video, and then I've been using, in my home studio at home, I bought the pod, a Pod XT, I don't know, whenever they came out, late 90s, early 2000s. I don't know when it was. Maybe early 2000s.
No, maybe like 2005 or 6.
Or 2005, 6, whenever it was. I don't know.
Which is now 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's, I'm old. I don't remember these things. So I bought one ages
1963.
1963, back in the 18th century.
Yeah.
I bought, it was in black and white.
Everything was in black and white. Just walking down the street, it was in black and white.
Of course. Yeah. And wheels were square.
Yeah.
No, so I bought one of them. That's when I first started using... Oh, yeah, it would have been later because I was already at uni because I already had my iMac. I had one of the original iMacs, that sort of helmet-looking one. Alien, you know, the alien weird-looking one, green one. I had one of them and I had GarageBand on it.
All right, cool.
When they first went to OS X, I think, the GarageBand came and I had that on that and it was like, whoa, and I started recording at home because before that it was a cassette 4-track that I was recording on. So it would have probably been towards the end of uni, so yeah. No, I finished uni in 2002. Maybe it was a bit late. Anyway, somewhere 2000-ish. 2 to 10 somewhere. not 10, but probably 2000. Yeah, around maybe 2005 or something. Anyway. I used it at home for recording because I couldn't be bothered miking things up and being quiet, and I didn't have very good mics. And anyway, so I bought it to record at home in GarageBand, and I've been on and off using it since then. And still now, you know, I've got better recording stuff and all that stuff at home, but I still every once in a while, and especially if I want a like a really high gain, like shreddy sort of, you know, Mesa Boogie sort of sound. For recording, I've been using it, and I think, to me, in the mix, it sounds fine, right? I wouldn't use it live, but anyway. And then not long ago, like a year ago or maybe 2 years ago or something like that, I don't know, time flies, I started using the Torpedo, Two Notes Torpedo cab simulation, which I use live as well. And I don't know when it was, I just kind of thought, this is ages ago as well. I kind of thought, oh, maybe I should hook it up, you know, and turn a cab simulation on the pod off and use a cab simulation on that. And I've been using that for recording every once in a while. And then anyway, so this Anderton's video came out like 2 weeks ago. And I thought, you know what? We should maybe do a video of the pod, but with the cab simulation, because, you know, that's how I've been using it at home.
Yeah, cool.
With the Two Notes cab simulation. And then Alex sort of said, oh, I still think they sound like crap. And I went, challenge accepted. So we did a video today, long story, sorry. We did a video today where the video was basically, can we make Alex like the pod?
Yep.
And how did it turn out?
Actually, surprisingly, less sucky than I thought.
That's a nice way of putting it. It makes a big difference. The cab emulation, the cab emulation.
By itself, the pod's still a bit hissy and...
It has that digital fizz.
It's kind of like just a one-dimensional thing.
Yeah.
As soon as you get a better cab sim, it deepens and gets more dynamic. And then you can really start tweaking the amp sounds from the pod, which aren't too bad.
Yeah.
And to get the sounds you like.
And then running pedals into it.
An overdrive pedal into it, and it didn't hiss out and get shit.
Yeah.
So
it worked out pretty good. Make sure to watch that video now that, you know, actually we just gave them the outcome.
Yeah.
So they're not going to watch it. But yeah, watch it. I really think that the Two Notes stuff is, really, really like it. I think they're onto something really, really good.
Especially because there's a few companies making third-party IR speaker plugins.
Yeah.
So that's just going to get bigger and bigger, that world as well.
Well, the thing is now, Celestion started making their own IRs. So you get one of the biggest, most highly renowned speaker manufacturers in the world making their own IRs, so they would have, I mean, they're putting their name on it and reputation on it, so they would have made it as good as they could possibly make it.
Yep.
And it does sound good. I really like the Greenback, 4x12 Greenback. Mm. For certain sounds, the El Nico Blue sounds great. We used a 4x10 as well, which was an Ohnhammer one, which I thought was quite good.
That was cool. It had a very different mid-range, but it's,
But it is, I mean, you plug, that is one of those things that a lot of people, I think, don't necessarily realise. your speaker is a huge part of your sound.
Yeah, absolutely.
So plug in your amp with your settings into one speaker and then plug it into a different speaker. It'll sound quite drastically different.
Mm, yep.
And yeah, so I thought it sounded really good.
Yeah, it's cool.
And like I said, I like it. And I never really use the effects on it.
Yeah.
Because it's got the stomp box stuff where you can put stuff distortions before. Or, you know, delays or choruses or whatnot. I never really use any of that stuff. When I use it for recording, I basically use it as an amp. It's an amp I set up to the sound I like, and then I run my pedals into it.
Yeah, cool.
Or I use, you know, if I want reverb or delay on it, I put that in post as a you know, in Logic.
Yeah, cool. Nice one.
So yeah, so check that out. So that's what we did today.
Yes.
So we only did two videos and now a podcast. So okay, what we should quickly talk about, NAM.
Oh, yes.
And I'm not talking about Vietnam. I'm talking about, or SNAM,
Summer NAM,
as they call it. Anything exciting and new that you can think of that they released at Summer NAM?
Yes.
Ooh, yes. Ooh, the suspense is killing me.
The anticipation.
Patient.
Yeah.
Should I put a drum roll in there later on? And,
sure, why not? Yeah. there was the Pigtronics Mothership baby
two.
One.
Yeah, Mothership 2.
I call it the baby one. And
that sounds really cool.
It's pretty freaking fun. A couple of delay pedals, which look kind of cool. There's a Warus Audio. Have a new one.
Oh, yeah, a delay. What is it? Yep. The ARP.
Yeah, that one.
ARP something or other. Yeah.
Weird name. There's another delay. What was the other delay?
No, you're the one talking. While you're thinking of it, I like pedals that make a guitar sound like it's not a guitar. So sure. Like the Mothership, the Pigtronics Mothership. But the Alexander pedals Syntax Error.
Yeah, cool.
That's another one that looks very interesting to me that was released, which is, I think, similar to the Autobit. It's a pedal that makes a guitar sound like an old computer game.
Yeah, cool.
So Bitcrusher,
I want to check out some of this, check out some of this stuff, because Alexander Pedal, they're doing some pretty cool, neat stuff.
Do you know that it's the same guy who does Disaster Area?
Oh, right.
It's just the, Matthew Farrow, I think his name is.
Okay.
He started off doing Disaster Area stuff.
Yeah.
And then he branched out in doing Alexander pedals as well. Mm. And the Disaster Area stuff is awesome.
Yeah,
I've got a few things that I when I used to have my Timeline and Mobius and stuff to control, MIDI control it, and you can set presets and stuff like that.
Yep.
Really, really good stuff. And the Alexander, I haven't played anything Alexander pedal yet, but it all looks really good.
Mm. For sure.
And that's one I definitely want to get my hands on, is the Syntax Error.
Check it out.
So could you think of the other delay?
Oh, no, I forgot.
There was Source Audio released that reverb too. Ventress or something like that?
Oh, yes. True.
Which sounded really cool too, actually, in some of the demos.
Where was I?
Well, while you're doing that, Boss also released a bunch of patch cable kits.
Oh yeah, plus all the heaps
the
of stuff. Eh?
Boss always released heaps of stuff, but they did that the 40th anniversary. Is it 40th anniversary?
Something like
that. The three first pedals that they've. It's not only that they're reissues, but they're made in the same way as the old ones. So the actual housing is different. I think the way they make the housing is different.
Oh, yeah.
So they went totally overboard.
Yep.
Like, I guess it's a Japanese thing, without sounding racist, but I think they are, they tend to, if they do something, they go to the extreme.
Yeah. No, it's great.
So I think
it's kind of why you love them.
Yeah. And I think that's why with
The Spectrum, the Overdrive, and the Phaser.
With those three, I think they went as far as making the way it's made is the way it used to be made.
Yeah.
So they went to
slaves.
They went to the trouble of making it. So the manufacturing is the way it was when they used to manufacture it.
Yeah, right.
So it's not a modern version of it. It is like the old version.
Yep. Big fun to check out.
Which would be very interesting. I think it's a limited edition thing only, though. So
I think so. Yeah.
I think Fender released a bunch of, I think they're doing hand-wired, like a deluxe.
Oh, really?
And okay. They're doing a bunch of hand-wired amps.
I just missed that.
I think that's another thing.
That, oh, yeah, here it is. The Source Audio Ventress.
Ventress, that's the one. That's the one.
Dual reverb. So you can get a couple of reverbs going if you need more than one splashy type sound. What else is good?
Trying to think of what was released.
It's now been a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it was a few weeks ago because we didn't get around to doing any of these things. I think Roland. I don't know if they Boss Roland. I don't know if they released it before NAMM or not. But I mean, it's not guitar related, but the is it SEO2 boutique series? It's an all analog.
Oh, yeah.
Boutique style, that same shape, size, analog synth.
Yeah,
they're very based on the Moog Moog Mini.
Oh, that's
Moog Mini.
That's the other thing I really liked about NAMM is Universal Audio have that new load box thing.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you sent me that. That's right.
Yeah, it looks cool. It's called the OX Box or OX Box, and basically it's kind of like a load box done really well.
Well, being
Universal
Audio, that'll be good for sure.
For sure. I don't think it's cheap, but it sounds really good. Do you have some notes here? Where are we?
Just talk amongst yourselves.
we are.
MXR, Dunlop released a bunch of new things.
Yeah, a couple of new.
Carbon Copy Deluxe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is a carbon copy with tap tempo and...
sprinkles.
Different subdivisions. And you can... I think it has a switch where you can go between the standard and the bright.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is quite interesting.
There are a couple of mini pedals too, which...
not the micro amp, but like a boost, mini boost.
Like an EP3 type preamp.
Yeah, and they did a what else did they do? They did that the double pedal. God, we should be better prepared for this. The double pedal, way huge one, which is half of it is the overrated special or whatever it's called, yes. And the other half is something else.
Right. Look it up. It's on the website.
Yeah. That's
right. Warmth. I have the Doctor, which is kind of a cool lo-fi delay thing. Which is kind of sort of based on Doctor Who kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Sci-fi kind of stuff.
Well, for me, the main thing, the two most interesting things anyway that I sort of got out of the whole NAMM thing is the Mothership 2, Pictronics, and the Syntax Error. I think that going to be two pedals I would really like because I'm into that sort of stuff.
Were there any guitar amps that... I'm just trying to remember.
Guitar amps?
Yeah.
Well, the Fender ones. Hang on, I got to look that up. There's Fender released those... Fender.
Oh, there's the Chase Bliss new version of the Tonal Recall too.
Oh yeah, the what is it? Red Knob Mode RKM.
Yep.
Well, with that, I mean, so it's the delay time goes from about 450 or 500 milliseconds or whatever it was in the original one.
Yep.
To a second or 1.1 or something like that seconds.
Mm.
And personally...
No one needs that. Like.
I don't know. Have you ever played a delay and gone, I wish it had longer delay time?
Yeah.
I mean...
Maybe like a really early like Memory Man thing that says it goes up to 300 or something.
Yeah, but, you know, like I remember when Boss brought out whichever DD it was, and I think it was 4 seconds.
Yeah.
And like it... I remember trying it out in the shop and you sit there and you hit a note and it's like an eternity later you get the you know...
Repeat back.
And,
yeah.
I mean, I know there's some people who like that... what's his name? Robert Fripp? That Frippatronics, King Crimson, where he does his thing where he just kind of does these kind of long delays and it all sort of washes into together and stuff. Some people are into that sort of stuff. But still, I mean, most people in most applications...
Yeah.
I mean, 450 milliseconds is... way enough.
Totally.
No.
The other thing I actually forgot about is the T-Rex Replicator Junior.
Ah, yes.
Which is the actual tape delay pedal, which came out a couple of years ago, probably now, which is the Replicator. But that's, well, in Australia anyway, it's retails like $1,700.
It's not cheap, yeah.
So they've done a Junior version. I'm not sure what the price point will be, but yeah, hopefully it'll be half of that or something. Because it'd be cool to have a tape delay on your pedal board.
With a little cartridge thingy on it.
Yeah. Very nice.
Yes, I just looked it up. So
sorry, the other delay was JHS, the Pink Panther.
Oh, yes. Because a lot of people go back to digital now. Digital delay seems to... It kind of goes around
it's a fashion thing.
Yeah, it's almost. Sort of... you know, 5 years ago, if you would have said digital delay, people would have gone, has to be analog.
Yep.
But now everyone seems to be going back to digital, and it seems to be the Boss DD3 and DD5 seem to have this, you know, reemergence. They're back, you know. Because I think the Pink Panther is a modified DD5, possibly, with tap.
Okay.
Or his take on a DD5, possibly, I think.
That style of thing. It's very clean.
Clean, but not clean, because I think a lot of the older digital delays were still lower sampling rate.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was cleaner, but grittier too.
Darker, maybe.
Yeah.
But it does have another mode to go to, like, analog style.
Oh, on the Pink Panther.
I think so. Anyway. So that's a thing.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of stuff. And yeah, I just looked it up. So Fender released a 64 Custom Deluxe and a Blackface Deluxe.
Yeah, cool.
Hand-wired series.
Oh, nice.
So there you go.
Very nice.
And I think a bunch of new colours and stuff for the guitars and whatever it is. Mm. But there's always some cool stuff. Let us know also if there's anything that you are really excited about was released at NAMM, leave us a comment. Let us know.
Yeah.
Also, if you are super awesomely awesome, if there is such a thing, why not go to iTunes, find our podcast, and leave us a review?
Ooh.
You could be the first. The very first. Because, you know, the more people leave reviews, the more people find us, and then you kind of go up in the rankings and listings, and if people search for stuff, you know, you're listed higher up. And so why not go and do that, you know? Would be lovely. Or if you're listening on Podbean, leave us a comment, you know? Say hello. Do the photo thing, you know? Let us know where you are in the world and what stuff you that's been released at NAMM that you're excited about, or any new releases. Doesn't have to be NAMM. Hang on, I'm just checking that.
Cool.
How long have I been going for? 43 minutes.
I believe you might have to shoot off now.
I'm going to have to shoot off soon because I've got family related things with children and mother-in-laws and stuff.
Excellent.
So what's happening in the near future with you, Alex, just to finish it off?
Well, I'm kind of on a bit of a spending halt at the moment. Can't really get much more gear because I'm about to go overseas on holiday in a month or two, so I'm just kind of saving for that.
Cool.
Which will be fun. Which will be great.
Well, when you come back and people broke in here and stole all your stuff, you have all the insurance money to buy new stuff. Ooh, so that'll be fun.
Excellent. Good times.
What do I have in the future? So we've got a whole lot of these clone pedals coming. We've got a friend, Craig, who's going to be lending us, and possibly being in a video too. He's a good player, so, you know, he could be our guest.
Let's do that.
Guest fiddler.
Knob fiddler.
Knob and string fiddler. He's had a clone since the 90s, since it first came out, so he's going to let us use his for a comparison. So that's coming up in the near future. We've got the Line 6 pedals and rack thing shootout coming sooner or later. We've been talking about that for ages.
Probably later
than sooner. What else do we have coming? What other things have we been talking about that we're going to do video-wise?
Hmm.
We should maybe do a video on the amp we always use on the OTS Mini 20.
That'd be cool.
The Serotone OTS Mini 20. We're still one day when we get the chance and have the time. We've been talking about that for ages too, that we're going to do a video slash podcast of our gear.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe do a studio tour here at Alex's where we always shoot the videos and do the podcast, so, you know, to see what we're using and how we're using it and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's all in the making.
Show you how we record the guitars.
Yes, and all that awesomeness. So that's all in the making. So thank you so much for listening. We should better call it off and end now.
Okay.
Thank you for listening. Please make sure to subscribe. If you've listened this far, you may as well subscribe.
Yeah.
Then on whatever platform this is you're listening to this, there should be somewhere near where you clicked to listen to this podcast in the first place, there should be something that gives you more of a description of the podcast. If you click on that, there should be links to our Facebook page, our individual Facebook pages, our Instagram pages. I think also a link to our YouTube channel. If you were so kind, it would be lovely if you go to our YouTube channel and subscribe there as well, and go to our Facebook page and like it.
Yeah, be very
we always groovy. Put photos up and stuff and stuff.
Excellent.
So on that note, thank you so much.
Yeah, cool.
And see you guys hopefully sooner rather than later.
Sounds good. All right, folks. See you soon.
Bye.